RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms her stance on anti-Pancasila organizations. The governments of Indonesia and Australia continue cooperation to increase knowledge sector. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has affirmed her stand on anti-Pancasila organization or movement. He said today that in his speech at the celebration of Pancasila birthday at the Foreign Minister Office, that Indonesia has to be vigilant. The government will take her action against anti-Indonesia, anti-Pancasila movement and organization. In his speech, he calls on people to work together for national development. He added that there is no other choice than working together to achieve the national dreams in accordance with Pancasila. There is no other choice other than going back to the basic of being a cordial nation. President Joko Widodo emphasized that people should not doubt the government's commitment to upholding the Pancasila. The governments of Indonesia and Australia continue cooperation to increase knowledge sector in Indonesia through a program which is run by Knowledge Sector Initiative KSI Phase 2. The signing of cooperation is held by Secretary of Minister of National Development Planning, Principal Secretary of the National Development Agency Imran Bulkin, and Minister Councillor Development Cooperation, the Australian Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Flora Davis, in Jakarta on Wednesday. Imran Bulkin said the cooperation between the governments of Indonesia and Australia through KSI program gives valuable input for Indonesian government in the making process of public policy and bringing a positive impact on society. In the future, his office will focus to improve the knowledge sector in Indonesia with the support of KSI. The government of Indonesia will be auctioning geothermal water areas in July following the issuance of ministerial regulation and action procedures. Director of Energy and Mineral Resources Minister at Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation, Rida Mulyana, said the regulation is being finalized at the Legal Bureau. He expects the action to commence in June. The ministerial regulation also confirms the government regulation on geothermal utilization. On the same occasion, Geothermal Director Yunus Saipulhad said that instead of electricity price, what programs and exploration commitment will be offered in the coming bid. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi affirmed that Indonesian government evacuates its 16 Indonesian citizens in Marawi City, the Philippines, on Tuesday. She also said that at the State Palace in Jakarta that the evacuation of the 16 Indonesian citizens are held by joint team of the Indonesian Embassy and Consulate General. The Indonesian Consulate General holds evacuation at two places. At the first location, there are four persons of evacuation team which keep guide and evacuation process. Meanwhile, at the second one, there are two persons of evacuation team. Further, the minister said that the Indonesian government keeps holding communication with the team at the field and also the authority at Dapo City and Iligan City to evacuate the Indonesian citizens. She also added that Indonesian forces and the police of the Philippines have agreed with the evacuation process of the 16 Indonesian citizens as soon as possible.
Tim evakuasi ini akan kita bagi di dua tempat seperti yang saya sampaikan.
The evacuation will be divided into two places. First, it is on the line of Iligan, Marantau, Iligan, then to Cagayan, the old airport, and will involve our teams over there, which will guide the evacuation. The team is a joint team of Indonesian Embassy and Consulate General, and we have a persons as international training team who join there. For the second evacuation, it is from Sultan Nagadimpuro, Pagadian City, Iligan, to Sultan Naga. There are two evacuations. There are four persons who will guide it. For the second team, there are three persons who will guide it, and we have communicated well with our forces and police. So, inshallah, the situation is no worse. All the developments are reported to the president.
Membimbing, dan kita sudah komunikasi baik dengan armed forces maupun dengan polisi. Pengawalan sudah, pasnya kita sudah dapat.
Meanwhile, Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte imposed martial law in Mindanao following a gun battle between armed groups and Filipino troops in Marawi. The shootings came after police and the Philippine armed forces executed an arrest warrant against Isnilon Hapilon and Abu Sayyad Frontman and ISIS license. Later, militant groups also resisted and fired. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi appreciated an increase in trade volume of Indonesia and Luxembourg by 72% and investment value of 170% in the period 2015-2016. Thus, Indonesia will hold Indonesian investment roadshow in Europe, including Luxembourg 2018. Luxembourg will also send business mission to Indonesia in 2007 to increase economic cooperation of the two countries. It was stated by Mr. Retno Marsudi to the press after holding bilateral meeting with Foreign Minister of Luxembourg, Jen Asselbonint, in Jakarta recently. At the meeting, Indonesia also delivered its concerns about the negative campaign and discrimination of Indonesian palm oil. The two ministers also discussed about cooperation potential in the field of banking, satellite, and issues in the region.
We agreed to have a mutual support arrangement for our non-permanent membership of the UN Security Council for Indonesia is for the year 2019-2020, and for Luxembourg is for the year 2031-2032.
Minister Retno further said that Indonesia does hope Luxembourg to support the Indonesian nomination as member of Financial Action Task Force in June 2017. The two countries will sign memorandum of understanding in the field of aviation in September 2017 in Bali. Indonesian Defense Minister Ramisara Chudu received honorable visit of New Zealand Defense Minister Matt Mitchell at the Indonesian Defense Office in Jakarta on Wednesday. In the meeting, both Defense Ministers signed memorandum of understanding about the two countries' defense cooperation. Minister Ramisat, at the press conference on the sideline of the meeting with his counterpart, said that both countries agreed to carry out intelligence exchange and information, joint military exercise and training, as well as supply and emergency assistance or military operation other than wars.
Pernyataan bersama Menteri Pertahanan kedua negara dalam upaya
the joint statement of the two countries' defense minister is to strengthen bilateral defense cooperation. It consists of official mutual visit, worship visit of military exercise and other activities, especially between Indonesia military and New Zealand armed forces.
Antara nasional Indonesia dan angkatan bersenjata selain baru.
Moreover, Minister Ramisat also explained that Indonesia and New Zealand have also mutual interest in the security and welfare in the Asia-Pacific region. At the meeting, the two defense ministers also emphasized the importance of regional security framework architecture such as ASEAN Defense Minister Meeting Plus to build trans cooperation and regional security. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay. I'll try to Joglo Semarang.
Hey,
your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Listener commentary today entitled TNI Involvement in Counter-Terrorism. The eradication of terrorism that was once only in the interest of some countries has now become a global issue, because from time to time, the actions of terrorist groups continue to increase. In this case, the targeted place prediction also covers an increasingly widespread area. Therefore, it is not surprising if almost every country tries to exert all the power to face and eradicate terrorism, including Indonesia. Earlier this week, President Joko Widodo asked the government, the House of the Representatives DPR, to speed up the discussion of the anti-terrorism bill. In addition, the president expects that the Indonesian forces TNI be given the authority to involve in the counter-terrorism. All stakeholders must provide support for the need of anti-terrorism bill. This is considered reasonable considering in certain periods there should be adjustments towards changes of condition in the bill while improving the weaknesses and deficiencies. Nevertheless, the pros and cons emerge concerning the government's desire for TNI involvement in the counter-terrorism efforts. It has been agreed that terrorism is an extraordinary crime. That is one of the reasons for the establishment of a special agency to deal with and to coordinate various related institutions with the police or Polri as the main unit. This means that the countermeasures of terrorism must be carried out lawfully. TNI itself is only positioned as a backer that can only be functioned if there is an urgent request from the police and the implementation remains under control of the police. For some people, the position of TNI like this is what causes the maximum effort to suppress terrorism. Therefore, it is expected that TNI, that certainly has the capacity of anti-terror, can be harnessed optimally, not only as a supporter but active directly with the police. Meanwhile, some people also argued that the presence of TNI will lead to overlapping inter-agency tasks. Since the beginning of the reform era, the TNI has been asked to return to the barracks. In other words, TNI only serves as a state defense instrument. Meanwhile, the state security is the responsibility of the police. It should be acknowledged that there are worries about extrajudicial acts, and this leads to human rights violation when involving the TNI. But by looking at the impact posed by terrorism, it is better for the state to fully provide its strength and ability. Regarding the excess of brain worriage, both the government and the DPR will discuss the anti-terrorism bill wisely. Thus, it can be guaranteed that TNI involvement does not harm the spirit of reform. Moreover, the world is quite critical of the actions of a country that is done immeasurably and excessively, although it is intended to counter terrorism. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again with me, Manor Rahmana, in our regular program today in History of Rural Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from an event on June 1st, 1945, when Pancasila was born. In 1945, facing the need to pull together the first archipelago, former President Sukarno promulgated Pancasila as the philosophical foundation of Indonesian state, as Indonesian five state principle. Sukarno's political philosophy was mainly a fusion of elements of socialism, nationalism, and monotheism. This is reflected in the proposition of his version of Pancasila that he presented on 1st of June 1945 to the Investigating Committee for the Preparation of Independence. In a speech known as The Birth of the Pancasila, since 1st of June 2016, President Joko Widodo has signed the Presidential Decree No. 24-2016 on the birthday of Pancasila. Stipulated June 1, 1945 as the birthday of Pancasila, June 1 is a national holiday. Therefore, every June 1 is commemorated as the birthday of Pancasila. Pancasila is the formula and guidance of light of nation and state for all the people of Indonesia. The next event was in 1949 about International Children's Day. Children's Day is recognized on various days in many places around the world to honor children globally. It was first proclaimed by the World Conference for the Well-being of Children in 1925 and then established universally in 1954 to protect an appropriate day. International Day for Protection of Children has been observed in many countries as Children's Day on June 1 since 1950. This was established by the Women's International Democratic Federation on its Congress in Moscow, Russia, 22nd November 1949. Major global variants include Universal Children's Day on November 20th by United Nations recommendations. And the last event was in 2003 when Three Gorges Dam project was begun to be fulfilled. Three Gorges Dam project is the short term for the water control project on Yangtze River. It is located in the middle section of Shilin Gorge near Sandoping Town in Yancheng City, Hubei Province. Being the world's largest hydropower project, this dam has created many firsts, such as the most efficient dam in flood control, the most difficult construction work, and the largest migration project in the world. The dam project is composed of the dam, hydropower station, and navigation facility. The first stage took 5 years from 1992 to 1997. During this period, the copper dam construction and the excavation of the first channel in the first stage were finished. Meanwhile, a temporary ship lock on the left bank of the river and sand preparation work was also completed. The second stage lasted 6 years from 1998 to 2003. When the copper dam construction was in its second stage and was undertaken at the same time as the construction of the permanent ship lock and the navigation buildings. The power station facilities construction and the installation of machinery on the left bank were also completed. The third stage of the project began in 2003 and has been completed in 2009. During this period, the installation of all machinery, the construction of the power station and the dam on the right bank are finished. Now a 3,861 square miles canyon reservoir then is presented to the world. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus, entitled Potential of Fishery Cooperation with Germany is Huge. The potential of economic cooperation between Indonesia and Germany in the fishery sector is considered large enough. Director of International Relations of Chambers of Commerce and Industry in Hamburg, Germany, Heinz Werner Dickmund, says that the need for fish and fishery products for consumption and export to various regions around Germany is quite huge. He added that to meet the need, Germany is very dependent on the supply of various fish-producing countries, including Indonesia. As quoted from the official website of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs last Monday, Heinz Werner Dickmund also said,
that as one member of the European Union, Germany emphasized the importance of legality aspects of fishery products. Therefore, as one of the largest fish suppliers in the world, Germany closely monitors the development of fishery policy in Indonesia. He said in the potentials for cooperation with Indonesia is highly possible, especially in an effort to increase the value of bilateral trade between the two countries through fishery products. Meanwhile, managing directors of the German Fisheries Industry and Wholesaler Association, Matthias Keller, said that Germany is the center of the fourth largest fish processing industry across Europe. The consumption level of fishery products in Germany was high, reaching the range of 14 kilos per capita in 2013. The quantity is predicted to continue to increase with the changes in the lifestyle of the German people who begin to get rid of the meat consumption. Fish and seafood consumption increased from 1.11 million tons in 2013 to 1.15 million tons in 2016. The trend indicates that Germany is a potential market for Indonesian fishery product exports. In addition, Secretary General of the Indonesian Tuna Association, or ASTUIN, Hendra Sugandi, said that the potential for tuna products in Indonesia is very high, especially for Germany. The type of tuna that is exported from Indonesia is prepared and canned tuna. The main challenge of increasing the export value of Indonesian tuna products to the German markets depends on the issue of sustainability as well as the high imposition of import taxes in the European Union region, reaching 14.5% for fresh and frozen tuna and 24% for canned tuna species. That was Focus. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Here you see a brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo has finished his stance on anti-Pancasila organization or movement. He said today that in his speech at the celebration of Pancasila birthday at the Foreign Ministry Office that Indonesia has to be vigilant. The governments of Indonesia and Australia continue cooperation to increase knowledge sector in Indonesia through a program which is run by Knowledge Sector Initiative KSI Phase 2. The signing of the cooperation is held by Secretary of Ministry of National Development Planning, Principal Secretary of National Development Agency Imran Bukin, and Minister Chancellor, Development Cooperation, the Australian Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Floor Davis in Jakarta on Wednesday. The government of Indonesia will be auctioning geothermal water areas in July following the issuance of Ministerial Regulation Auction Procedures. Director General of Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry at Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation, Rida Mulyana, said the regulation is being finalized at the legal bureau. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi affirmed that Indonesian government evacuates its 16 Indonesian citizens in Marawi City, the Philippines, on Tuesday, June 1st. She also said at the State Palace in Jakarta the evacuation on the 16 Indonesian citizens are helped by a joint team of the Indonesian Embassy and Consulate General. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi appraised an increase in the trade value of Indonesia and Luxembourg by 72% and investment value of 170% in the period 2015-2016. Thus, Indonesia will hold Indonesian investment roadshow in Europe, including Luxembourg 2018. Indonesian Defense Minister Yamiche Rasyudu received honorable visit of New Zealand Defense Minister Matt Mitchell at Indonesian Defense Office in Jakarta on Wednesday. In the meeting, both Defense Ministers signed memorandum of understanding about the two countries' defense cooperation. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, How about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semarang.
Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semarang, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to culinary tour to South Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listeners, Paria or Pare is a fine plant originating from tropical Asia. The shape is long, with rough skin like prickly. It also tastes bitter. This plant is usually cultivated to be used as vegetable or medicinal ingredients. In East Asian countries such as Japan, Korea, and China, drugs are used for treatment such as digestive disorders, boosters, and vomiting stimulant. This plant has been extracted and packaged in capsules as herbal or herbal remedies. In addition to treatment, pare is also consumed and processed into various foods in Indonesia. Especially in South Sulawesi, pare is processed to become food called paria kambu. Listeners, paria in Makassar is pare, while kambu in Makassar means content. So paria kambu means pare fruit, which is given the content such as chicken or fish. But the most commonly used stuff is fish. How to make Paria Kambu is not easy because it requires special skills to be able to hide the bitter taste of the paria. To make it, the inside contents of the paria are first cleansed until empty. Then the paria is cut into pieces. Furthermore, the empty part is filled with a mixture of grated coconut that has been fried and the fish that has been cooked. Types of the fish vary according to the taste. Both materials are then smashed and inserted into the pari hole. As a complement, we can add some pepper garlic and onion and lemongrass that has been mashed together. Do not forget egg white. One ready coconut milk is then cooked until boiling. When the coconut milk has boiled, the paria that has been filled with the ingredients is then put into a batter of coconut milk and then it is cooked. Do not forget to add little salt according to the taste. Listeners, Paria Kambu is very delicious if enjoyed with a serving of warm rice. Pare bitter taste is not so pronounced because mixed with fish stock that has been processed. The delicious taste is from the coconut milk of this food. Although a bit bitter, there are still people who hunt this culinary. But to find Paria Kambu is not easy. This culinary is sold during Ramadan and made as a breaking menu. The price is relatively cheap. Listeners, Paria Kambu is one of culinary types of Makassar Sulawesi, which is now increasingly difficult to find. To continue the popularize and explore traditional food of Makassar, one of Paria Kambu Tourism and Creative Economy of Makassar City held traditional food Vaganza event. The event was held on 20 to 21st May 2017 at the Mandala Monument in Makassar. Makassar culinary variety displayed both traditional culinary and modern one that has been developed from local culinary. The traditional food Vaganza 2017 highlights traditional dishes in a more modern way in a bid to attract the attention of the public. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Paria Kambu. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. On June 1, 2017, Indonesia commemorates the day when Indonesian ideology Pancasila was born. A year ago, Indonesian President Joko Widodo, through the Presidential Decree No. 24/2016, stated that June 1 as the day when Pancasila was born and as a national holiday. In today's edition of Miscellany, we are going to inform you about Pancasila Week with the theme I'm Indonesian, I'm Pancasila.
listener, to commemorate Pancasila Day, Indonesian government holds an event called Pancasila Week with the theme I'm Indonesian, I'm Pancasila from May 29 to June 4, 2017. This event is aimed to strengthen and reintroduce the basic principles of Pancasila and to attract young generation. Therefore, it is hoped that the whole confidence of Indonesia can implement the values of Pancasila in their daily life. Pancasila Week event, Indonesian government collaborates with several stakeholders to campaign the program. The cooperation is done through community service commercial break on televisions and movie theaters, talk show programs and music on radio, and through social media. Indonesian people actively take part in the event by using hashtags Pekan Pancasila, hashtag Saya Pancasila, hashtag Pancasila Reborn, hashtag Kenal Pancasila, hashtag Pancasila Punya Kita, hashtag Pancasila Satu, and hashtag Pancasila 2017. The commemoration of this event is on June 1, 2017 and centered in front yard of Pancasila Building of Foreign Affairs Ministry Office in Jakarta by having flag hoisting ceremony with Indonesian President Joko Widodo as the inspector of the flag hoisting. Besides, Secretary of State Minister Pratikno also released letters for the heads of state institutions in Indonesia and abroad to hold flag hoisting in their offices. The history of Pancasila started from Sukarno's speech in Indonesian Independence Preparation Body on June 1, 1945. In the speech, the concept and formula of Pancasila as the basic principle of Indonesian independence was first uttered by Sukarno before he was declared as President of Indonesia. This speech had no title, but then it was called as the Speech of Pancasila Birth. This was stated by former head of Indonesian Independence Preparation Body, Dr. Hajiman Widjodiningrat, on his book that was published in 1947. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informed you about Pancasila Week. We meet again on the next edition of Miscellany. I'm Nika Kusumawati.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with Minuka in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern. In today's edition, we'll present a popular female singer during 90s. This female singer is known to Indonesian people due to the cold hand of Indonesia's famed songwriter, Rinto Harahap. As one of his songs entitled Kau Tercipta Untukku, the female singer is Betaria Sonata. Betaria Sonata is also known as an artist and in big screen. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Kau Tercipta Untukku by Betaria Sonata.
Jangan kan untuk bertemu memandang pun.
a man is created by the Creator to be together. That's the implicit meaning of the song lyrics that we have just enjoyed. However, sometimes this belief disappears for various reasons and it results in separation. An undesirable separation is so painful that it makes the heart hurt and hard to recover. Listener, the sadness of this separation was sung by Betaria Sonata through Rinto's song entitled Hati Yang Terluka.
Membagi cinta.
Betaria Sonata is a top female artist in pop country music world. Although her voice is not as prominent and perfect as a singer who is nurtured and educated formally, but Betaria has a distinctive vocal color. She successfully rocked the realm of pop country music with her distinctive voice. Now Betaria enjoys the result of her success by gaining the royalty of her single album worth about 100 million rupiah per year. Well, it's time to conclude our segment for today. Let's listen to the last song entitled Biarku Sendiri. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Happy listening.
Mm-hmm.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.